Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Welcome to Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Today's show is all about the myths and stigmas associated with HIV and AIDS. This is part three of a three-part series we're doing on HIV. When we initially started putting this show topic together, we were going at it from a totally different angle. And then we heard about a controversy going on in the Lake Como area. That's a community within the city of Fort Worth. We understand that a large portion of the residents in Lake Como, along with about 15 pastors, are against a project that's trying to come into their community. It appears that the Samaritan House wants to build a $15 million facility in the Como the Como community. This facility, for the most part, will house people infected with the HIV virus. And that's what we're understanding is where the large part of the problem is coming from. We don't know if it's stigma that's causing the residents to not want this facility to come in, but we're going to find out. On our panel today, we have four pastors. Two are against and two are for the Samaritan House Project. That said, we will introduce our pastors. First, Pastor W.L.D. Campbell is going to be with us, and he's with the West Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Lake Como, and he is against the Samaritan House Project. Alongside him is Pastor Maurice Barnes. He's with the Zion Missionary Baptist Church, and that appears to be the oldest church in the Lake Como area, and he is also against the project. On the opposite side of the debate is Pastor Kenneth Jones, Jr. He's with the Como First Missionary Baptist Church, and he claims to have the largest congregation in Lake Como. And also standing beside him is Pastor Robert Lawson of the Bethel Temple Church of God in Christ. And he is also for the Samaritan Project coming into Lake Como. And I believe his church sits directly across the street from where the Samaritan House will be built. That said, I'd like to welcome all of my guests to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Beg your pardon?
Good afternoon, Carrie.
Good afternoon. I'd like to begin by saying this controversy seems odd because it mostly seems to be about pastors. The residents don't seem as verbal as the pastors do about this, and I don't know if that's because the pastors are just the leaders in this particular situation, but I would like to begin by asking all of the panel members if they could just tell us why they are either for or against this project. And I will begin with Pastor Campbell.
Thank you, ma'am, and to all the brother pastors, good afternoon. Let me start off by saying I am not against the Samaritan House Ministries. Get that out of the way. Many people think that we're against the ministries of the Samaritan House. We are not, or I am not, against the ministries of the Samaritan House. What I am against is their placing that particular house, community, structure inside of Lake Como.
Okay.
That is what I'm against.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I understand that. Pastor Barnes, can you tell us why you are against the Samaritan House coming into Lake Como?
And hello to Pastor Paulson, Pastor Campbell. First, let me say, you say this is only involving pastors. It's not only involving pastors. I'm involved in it because people ask me to get involved in having a spokesperson because they were not heard by the local community organization. And so they couldn't get a hearing, so they asked me. One of the things I did was I asked all of the pastors if they would meet together so that we could talk about it and see what direction to go in.
Okay.
Pastor Lawson was at that meeting. Pastor Campbell was at that meeting. One pastor, Pastor Jones, chose not to come or didn't get word that we were having it.
Okay.
So we could have decided, what to do. But anyway, again, I've said it over and over and over. I'm not opposed to the work that Samaritan House does. It's needed. It's necessary. The facility on Hempfield is a clean facility on the surface. It looks good, but it's in a urban and commercial-type environment. Como is a single-family residential area, and it has problems already. And I think that this will add to the problems and not help it. And so for that reason, I'm against it.
Okay. Pastor Kenneth Jones, Jr., can you tell us why you are for the Samaritan House coming into the Lake Como community?
Yes, Carrie, let me just say, opening up by stating that I did not receive any information to attend a meeting, so that was a meeting that was held without me being in attendance because I was not invited. But that being said, The reason why I support the Samaritan House is, first of all, Kerry, before the Samaritan House ever had a desire to come into the Como community, our church has been ministering in the Samaritan House. I have individuals that are part of the Samaritan House that are members of this church that are being helped by the Samaritan House. And the compassionate church that we are, as helpers of people who are in a suffering state, we can't turn our backs upon them. Also, facts or statistics are bearing out in Tarrant County, the 76107 zip code. The statistics bear out of new cases. 76107 has a large amount of individuals who are contacting the HIV AIDS virus. And those individuals are coming in or part of our community already. So we cannot turn our back, carry on these individuals. I have an affinity and a passion for these individuals, and that's the reason why I support the Samaritan House.
Okay. Pastor Lawson, can you answer the same question?
He's not here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we lose Pastor Lawson?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's it. Then I would ask for someone to, I'm going to have to pose the question to you then, Pastor Jones. How is it that the Samaritan House chose Lake Como as their site location to build this facility?
One of the things that Steve Dutton, the director, shared with me and other community leaders is that one of the things about the Samaritan House presently right now, it deals with families,
mm-hmm.
not just individuals, not just single parents, but individual adults who are affected with the AIDS virus, and they have children. Como is a community that is tight-knit, that also has schools, that also has, quote-unquote, some 20 to 25 churches. Also, it's closely tied to not a hospital, but a center that helps individuals, the JPS Help Clinic. Also, you have bus routes that allow these individuals to get to particular destinations, to job sites. So this place was also picked because this particular facility is to place a sore spot that has been on the fringe of the southern sector of Como for over 40 years, that has been drug-infested, prostitution, that will come into one street of the Como community, not into the middle portions of it or even a fourth of the community on the southern fringe of or the southern sector of the Como community. So Steve Dutton wanted to come in because it would connect these families with schools and with other viable entities that are close to this facility.
Okay. That said, has anyone measured what the numbers are in terms of the residents that are for and against the Samaritan Project? Because I'm hearing numbers like 80% are for, 80% are against, and 20% is for the Samaritan Project. So that would almost seem like it shouldn't even be a debate. And I'm going to ask that question to Pastor Barnes. Can you elaborate on that at all? Has anyone measured the numbers, the percentages of how the people are already appearing to be voting on this project?
Well, I run into very, nobody's measured and has a number told.
Mm-hmm.
There is an estimate. We did submit within a week's time a petition with over 350 names to our city councilman. And that was in a week's time. So we ran into very few people who said that they are for it. I need to go back and address a couple of things that were said about Como. One, let me tell you, Como is a great community.
Okay.
Como is one of the best tight-knit communities that you will ever find in Fort Worth. It's like any other community. It has some issues, and because it is a predominantly African-American community, it has some issues that are prevalent in those communities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the bus service in Como is not adequate for the residents that are there now.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of this Samaritan House, I'm sure we're going to get better bus service.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that is HIV positive and has AIDS are not African American.
I agree.
Como, picking Como, if you really want to know why Como is picked, it's because it is a minority community.
Okay.
That's that, and the land is cheap. We've been told that. That's the reason. But when you look at the dynamics of Como, he's saying that it's on one street. Como has Vickery. Como has a unique geography. And it was done that way in order to contain the African-American population in the days of overt racism.
Mm-hmm.
On the south side, where Vickery runs, in the back door where this will be placed,
mm-hmm.
there's a railroad track. So you can't go south from there. To the west, we've got Brian Irving and the remnants of what was called the Berlin Wall to keep us out of Ridgely.
Mm-hmm.
On the west, we've got a park and an abandoned park.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go that way. The only way is to go north through Como, down Horn Street. And I believe that because Como has this high element, as Pastor Jones is saying, of HIV cases
mm-hmm.
already in the community, when you start adding to it, you get a saturation level because there are over 5,000 people in Como. And I would venture to say that, and I'm just going to grab this out of the air, that I would say less than 5% of the people are HIV positive. So what are you going to do with the 95% of the people that are honest and live in that community and want a safe environment where it is progressive, but yet where it can grow and redevelop itself?
Mm-hmm.
So to bring in and saturate that area is unfair to all of those people that live out there. You know, too much of anything is not good. You can put too much sugar, it tastes good. You put too much sugar in your body, and it'll mess you up. You put too much water, it tastes good. It's needed, but it will mess you up if you drink too much of it. Anything that you put too much of in anything will mess it up. This will be too much for that community to handle.
I understand. Okay, we're going to go to the phone line. If you want to weigh in on this topic, the phone line number is 347-850-8390. Again, the number is 347-850-8390. We're going to go to 540-604. You're on the line.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am Elder Robert N. Lawson's oldest son. And he's actually trying to get in contact with you guys now. I guess we had a sort of had a mix-up. But what I'm not understanding is that area down there, especially on the corner of Vickery and Horn, has been an eyesore for 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So any type of improvement to it is an improvement, and definitely an improvement to help people. I mean, I just don't understand what the big non-draw is for it. I mean, yes, it might add a facelift to the community, but anything that's good and that can help the community bring more bus lines, bring whatever, I don't think that Como is necessarily in the community to shun any type of development at all. I mean, it's bad out there. It's been bad out there for a long time. So that somebody is actually taking interest in the community, I mean, they should be welcome. I mean, they put up liquor stores out there all the time. The building next to our church on the other side of on Vickery was a liquor store that everybody said was okay to put out there, but nobody wants anything to help anybody. So I just don't understand why we wouldn't put something out there that would help people. And we would welcome something that won't.
I understand. Thank you, caller. Pastor Campbell, Pastor Barnes, would you like to address that?
Pastor Campbell?
I would like, may I mention something about that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got two questions. I mean, I'd like to know, firstly, I don't always agree with stats
mm-hmm.
because stats can be skewed. It's like anything else. You can make it say what you want it to say.
Okay.
All right. Secondly, the caller just stated any type of improvement. Well, the state of Texas is taking up the idea of legalized gambling. So is that suggesting that they could put a casino down there because it might be good for the community as far as economic development.
Mm-hmm.
My point is simply this. My point is this. There is not only Pastor Lawson's church down on that end, but you also have four other churches or five other churches right around that area. West Vicary Church of Christ, Greater Rising Star, Green Pastures Church of Christ, Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church, and also Bethel Temple Church of God in Christ. What I'm suggesting is that church is right around that area, and many of those pastors, four of those pastors out of five, have said they don't want that particular business or home next to them. They talk about it being on the very southern end of Como. On the northern end of Como, they put a place where they draw blood, some type of dialysis place, maybe something like that. They said that that was going to improve the community. That hasn't done anything. They built a three-story storage building right on the, again, on the north end of our community, and they said that was going to improve our community. The only thing that did was block the view from people looking into Como.
Okay.
It didn't help the community. All it did was just say, hey, we can do whatever the heck we want to do, and those people don't care.
I understand. Okay, we're going to go back
Terry,
to
can I say something? Terry, can I say something? When we talk about the issue of the pastors, and I don't want to necessarily say that it's an issue of pastors against pastors.
Okay.
All of us know each other. We all serve in each other's pulpits. The issue, I think, is a spiritual and a moral issue. When you look at the dynamics of individuals with this type of disease that is absolutely terminal in so many ways, there is no cure for.
Right.
Where I see that the church has to care and have compassion. And that's why I'm in it as a pastor. I have compassion, and they try to put this off in their argument as those people. These are individuals with names. These are individuals that hurt. These are individuals that are calling out for the church community, that's the only community that is equipped to show compassion to those that are suffering. These are individuals that want a chance to restart their lives, to rebuild their lives. When you look at the interesting dynamics of Como, it is a great community, but it's a changing community. It is a changing community in ethnicity. It's majority African Americans, but Anglos are moving in. Hispanics are moving in because African Americans have moved out or have left their properties, and Hispanics have picked it up. The dynamics of this community is changing. The church always has to care and be on the front lines of compassion. When you can put a face to those that are hurting, you can't turn your backs. If this was in the middle of Como, and I'm not concerned about the concerns of the overall majority of the community. The overall majority of the community will speak on this here, and Pastor Jones will line up with the majority of the community. But I can't, as a pastor, turn my back on those that are hurting, and we not minister to these individuals and give them the opportunity to restart their lives. And that's what we're doing. We're turning our backs. We're turning our backs on them, and there are many individuals in our communities. There are several crack houses there. If we don't address these issues and deal with these issues rather than turning our backs on it, and that's what you have. If individuals, family members have turned their backs, if we don't address these issues, then you'll have a subculture rising up in your community that it will eventually be heard.
Understand. The phone lines are jammed, guys.
But now, wait a minute. Let me go back to something he just said. We are not... Pastor Jones, as you well know, we have all, as you said, we've served in each other's pulpits. We try to do what we can for the community. AIDS is only one blight in this community, if you say it like that. You have people that, you're right, the crack houses, but you also have people, you can't say that you're the only, and I'm sure you're not saying that, at least I hope you're not saying, that you're the only compassionate pastor out here.
Okay,
because,
who,
brother, we have been doing a great work out here before many of the brothers got here.
Okay,
people
I'm
in your pulpit, you
I'm not saying that.
We have been and we are doing a great work in this community to help people, not only with AIDS, not only with people who are chemically dependent, but you also have people who have cancer, leukemia, other concerns that we are reaching out to and helping.
Absolutely, but how do we do
it? We're doing that.
Okay, pastors, the phone lines are jammed. You guys are going to have to take some of these calls. We're going to go to 817-738. You're on the line.
Hello. Hi, this is Dorothy DeBose.
Hi, Ms. DeBose. How are you?
I'm fine. And I thank you for letting me get in. And I want to respond to a couple of things that has already been said. I am the chair of NAC, and the process for the organization who's been over 20 years is for a business or organization that want to come into Como or do anything in Como, they call, and I put them on the agenda, and they do a presentation. And that is exactly what Steve Dutton did, exactly what the Plasmapheresis did, and Hope Form, any program. And at that program, we listen, and then we say, let us find out. I always take the time to find out. The same way with the Samaritan Project, we said, Steve, you'll have to come back. When there was questions, then we brought them back. I say, when I hear the conversation, not any building around us that's been built, the Plasmapheresis didn't say it was going to do anything for Como. It was going to offer a service. The same thing, that storage building, that they did not come to the community. They built it and said they offer a service. That's just the how the businesses do. Now, I heard someone say the Village at Vickery is not exclusively for AIDS. It is for low-income individuals that need a decent apartment that has some support services there that will help them improve their life. If you have cancer, if you have been on drugs and are sincere about getting off, they have a program there will help you. Okay.
Well, let me ask the question, since you're on the line, Mr. Bose. Your name has come up often in this debate, and some are saying that NAC, you're the president of NAC, which stands for, I'm understanding, the Neighborhood Advisory Council of Como. Is that correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And some are saying that you did a backroom deal with the Samaritan House, and when you presented it to the Como residents, you weren't totally upfront about everything that you knew about the project. Is that correct?
That is not correct.
Okay.
Here is what happened. As I told you, all folks that's coming have to call me and get on the agenda. When Steve came and did his presentation, of course, I had taken the time to find out more information about it. I asked at his presentation, which he talked about his program, and asked the others to go and to visit and find out what it was about. Not to vote then, it was to find out what it was about. I don't vote on issues until I know what it's about. The same way when Hope Farm came, they called and wanted to get on the agenda. I also went to Hope Farm to find out what they were about. So when they did come, I knew what they were about. So there are no back deals that I have taken the time to find out what Samaritan House is about and have invited the ones in the community. After the first presentation to go and do the visits, then after question came up, set up so they could get individual information. I don't cut back deals. I don't go out and recruit businesses to come to Fort Worth. I think there's a misunderstanding about the Neighborhood Advisory Council has been in place over 20 years. It has operated the first Thursday of the month at the same place at 7 p.m., and when issues affecting this community, that is where they are presented. It didn't start with me, and I think it's a good format. And it appears that those that don't understand it maybe haven't been a part of that process.
Well, let me ask you this, Ms. Lawson. Is it true that the property has already been purchased, or the land has already been purchased by the Samaritan House, and that they really pretty much already have a green light, and it's just the formality that the residents of Como are going through? It's just that kind of courtship to try to.
I do not believe that to be true. I believe that they have a contract where they can buy it. I don't think it has been. They have not bought it. They have a contract with a person that say they would like to buy it. And if they don't buy it, someone else can step in and buy it. Now, that is my understanding. But I am not on the Samaritan House board, so I wouldn't know all of their information that they have. But that is what I have been told by Charlotte and Steve.
Okay. We did speak with Mr. Dutton, who is executive director of the Samaritan House this week. We did invite him to come on and be a part of the panel, and he did decline for reasons that he said that he wasn't a part of the community, so therefore he didn't feel it was his position to come in and speak on it. So that was the conversation that I had with, the extent of the conversation that I had with him this week. So you say it's unfair, Ms. DeBose, that people are accusing you of orchestrating this whole thing. It's not you at all.
I will say it this way. As a chair of a committee that takes responsibility, that if something is wanting to come into the community, I invite them to our meeting to do a presentation. I invite citizens to find out what it's about before a vote is taken.
Okay.
And if the community decides that that's what they want or don't want, then I carry that forward. That is my role. That is my position that I've done with every program, and I will continue. And I have a track record of showing if you want to do something, the plasmapheresis, they came and presented at our committee and said, here's what we want to do. We got information. Then we came back and they decided, the community voted and said, it wasn't really necessary for a vote because they had the proper zoning, but they came to say we wanted to be good neighbors and talked about their program. That is the same process that was followed with this. Had more public meetings to get the information out, because bad information started coming out immediately after Steve was there with all kind of, it was a house, it was an apartment for AIDS, and they won't exclude folks with AIDS, but it's not exclusively for AIDS. They have expanded their role. It's just, it was a halfway house. All kind of false information was going out, so we had additional informational meetings too, so folks could get the facts, and then they will be able to decide for themselves. And that will happen the first Thursday of this month, next month.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
Well, thank you, Mr. Vose, for calling in. We're going to move on. 817-344, you're on the line.
Gary?
Yes.
This past Barnes, can I respond to Ms. DeBose?
Yes, sir, please.
Listen, Ms. DeBose is not representative of the Pomo community, even though she's chair of NAC. I don't know why people came to me and asked me to stand up, because normally I'm a very background person. I don't usually come out in the front and do this.
Okay.
They looked me up, and they said that they were not getting heard at NAC.
Okay.
And they needed somebody to speak with them.
Okay.
Now, nobody, Ms. DeBose and I had breakfast, and she not ever once has come to that community and say, what do you all want to do at a public setting? And I think you don't go to a community and tell them this is what we're going to do and paint a picture of heavenly roses. If you ask what are the positives and the negatives for the Samaritan House, I've asked that question, and I've been told there are no negatives. And if you find me anything that doesn't have a negative to it, then I'll go jump off a cliff, okay? But she is not representative of that community, and it is not forthcoming. And the reason it was said that the place was for HIV-positive people is because Mr. Dutton said that.
Mm-hmm.
And as this process has evolved and opposition has risen, he has started to say, well, pulling on the heartstrings of people, it's for anybody down and out on their luck. He tells you anything you want to hear just so that he will try to get you to go along with it. That's his representative doing that now. When you come to a meeting and you're going to bring me a chocolate cake when we're talking business to celebrate somebody's birthday, that's fine and well, but that doesn't mean anything with me. This is not about people. This is not about ministry. This is about putting that house in the wrong place. It's a residential, single-family neighborhood, and that does not belong in it. If it belonged in that neighborhood, why don't the other neighborhoods jump up and say, I want it?
Understand. We're going to have to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to 817-344. You're on the line. Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I live in the south side of Fort Worth, and I was told about this situation that you're speaking of now by a friend of mine.
Yes,
and, okay, so why are the people having such a hard time with it being there? I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Okay, we're going to pose that question to Pastor Campbell and Pastor Barnes.
Again.
We've stated it over and over, over again. Where it is on Hempfield and Rosedale is a commercial.
I'm familiar with that one.
It's a commercial urban area. It fits
uh-huh.
well. It does not dramatically impact a single-family neighborhood. In Como, it will directly impact a single-family residential area that's already struggling with issues.
Does that answer your question, ma'am?
No.
Hello?
No, I'm really still kind of confused about that. I mean, it's single people living everywhere, so I'm just wondering why is it a problem that it's in the Como area.
Do you know what a single-family residence is?
Yes, I sure do.
It's a housing area. This is not multifamily. This is not apartments. Como is, by and large, a single-family residential neighborhood. This place.
Oh, meaning it's not okay.
This place is going to be shadow. There are going to be some single-family homes in the shadow of this facility. It's going to be three stories on the Vickery Inn. They're trying to buy out some people, and they are trying to diminish the appearance of those houses by saying one of them is boarded up, two of them are rented, three of them. But there are some seniors there. They've been there all of their lives. They want
uh-huh.
to stay there. They want to live quietly and comfortably, and they do right now. Okay, I'm not
okay.
saying that Como shouldn't evolve and shouldn't grow, but I'm saying that this particular product will saturate that community. It's already struggling, and it's going to take it down.
Is that answering phone caller?
Can I say
yes,
something
ma'am.
Here?
I'm sorry?
Yes, it did. Yes,
okay,
it did.
Thank you. Okay,
here,
we're going to go to 817-732. You're on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. You have a call? You have a question for the panel?
No, I'd like to make a statement.
Okay. Well, we'd love to hear it.
All right. My name is Tommy Hinton, and I'm one of the past community leaders, and I have been on the board for the past 7 years.
Okay.
Como is, as they stated, is a bedroom community. We are not an urban village community. First of all of the associations were not informed about what was going on. The NAC is not the only association in Como.
Okay.
The other two were not informed of the condition.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, the motel was up to be history. And since all of this come up, they would not get their flag now because the Como Courts was one of the very first black-owned motels in Fort Worth.
Okay.
So now we would not get the historic marker behind
okay.
all of this mess.
Okay.
Furthermore, some people are complaining because they feel like they're acting like children. You don't scratch my back, I don't scratch your back, which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have had citizens who have fought for this community, starting with Sophronia Hicks, Wilmer Alderman Burden, or Burden Alderman, Wilmer Lightner Philpott, and the late Viola Pitts. They have fought hard for this community, and I hate to see this community falling apart the way it is because people who are involved in this are not really Como citizens, and this is where the problem is. This should be left up to the citizens and the property owners of Como.
Okay, so who are you referring to? The pastors, or is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that some of the people who are speaking that they want the Samaritan House
mm-hmm.
are not residents.
Okay.
And it should be left up to the residents. And I live right in the back of this. And first of all, when they came to the community, they said they only wanted the Como Courts. Now they want Shallow Drive, the Eskimo Hut, and the whole area of Victory there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not what was told to us in the first place. Then they said Como had not tried to do anything about the Como Courts. Well, that's a lie. I was the original member of the CCPD board of Fort Worth, Texas, before Mayor Mike Moncrief took over, and I had brought it to the attention of the city, and this is when Samaritan House stepped in.
Okay.
And it's on record. And so the people who are saying that Como don't care about how they look or what's going on, it's on record so they can check it and see that they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. Would any of the panel like to address what the caller says? I guess not. Okay, thank you, caller, for that call.
I'll say something.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's Pastor Barnes again. Listen, one of the things that happened, Ms. Dubo said that she does not go out and try to solicit businesses to come into the Como community. And I think that's one of her failures.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the problems. We are reactive rather than proactive. We ought to seek and pursue positive quality enterprises to come into the community. We need to design a vision of what we want in Como. NAC ought to be, with the support of the community, trying to provide and pursue that vision. Now, the thing I've got about any kind of support, I'm tired of people giving us carrots rather than teaching us how to grow the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
If people getting out of prison, if they could find jobs, and if they could go get a job, they would need that type of support system. They could pay rent. They could buy a house. But they can't get a job. Nobody will hire them. I deal with that every day in terms of ministering to people who get out of jail and they can't find jobs. And I'll go places and I'll ask, will you hire ex-offenders? And they will say no. Or what kind of record, what do they go up for? And so I've tried to intercede on that behalf. Then communicate, you know, that's the type of stuff. Training facilities, what we need something to, so that we can give people trades, teach them to be carpenters, teach them to be mechanics, teach them to be electricians, plumbers, and then they can provide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Stop coming out there barbecuing and giving me a red soda pop and a chicken wing and thinking that you're doing a favor for me.
Okay.
Here, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Can I respond?
Yes, sir. And this is who?
Pastor Jones.
Okay, yes, sir.
Carrie, that's exactly what I'm talking about when you look at the overall vision for the community. I've been out here 14 years, and I've asked for that overall vision from the leadership of what you want Como to look like. And basically, you've been fighting back and forth for 14 years trying to absolutely put that vision out there so that you can know where you want your community to be 15 years down the line or immediately 5 years down the line. But let me say something that Maurice was talking about. When you look at the Samaritan House and what it does for those residents, not just HIV, those that are coming through reentry, those that will be able to apply for residency, it gives, first of all, those individuals an opportunity for housing. It also has a case management. It also has an opportunity for training so that you can get a job. And as he deals with that issue, I deal with it every day, too. These individuals want a chance to be able to restart. And you can't cherry pick who you want to come in and who you're going to dismiss because of the 80s drug culture there. These individuals want to, and many of those individuals had an opportunity to stand before the NAC community and speak about how their lives have been changed, how they have been able to get jobs and be able to not just stay in the Samaritan House, but to move on and build their own houses. That's what it's about, giving people a chance to restart. And what better vision, Carrie, what better vision for Como? Because it has a negative stigma of the drug culture and all of that in the 80s. What greater vision for this community to have something of this magnitude that you can see that lives are being changed and transformed, and that people can look at it in a positive sense, that people who once were down on their lives have been given a chance. You take Magic Johnson, who was HIV early 90s. If we would have had the ignorance, now, of course, it's not an equal good argument because he has money. But you just take, if he wouldn't have had the encouragement, the medicines, the opportunity of people to inform him, this man could have been dead today. But because he got the medicines, because he was around people that were supportive, this man is a multi-billionaire today because of that. Give these other individuals the same chance. As a pastor, I see individuals once a month go up because of the drug culture, and I stand as character witnesses. Many of them, just last week, I have those that have come back into the community. They're coming back, Harry, back into the community. They're staying in single-family dwelling houses, but many of them are staying there because they have family that's there, but others are struggling. And those that don't have houses, you find them as transients among the community. What Maurice is talking about is something that I've been envisioning for 14 years. Give these individuals a chance, just like we have opened doors for women in need that's in Como. Those individual women who come out of prison looking for a chance to restart their lives. But individuals in the community, leaders, have fought Sandra Stanley's vision for giving those individuals. That there is an element where we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. We stand up against these individuals. Give them a chance to restart their lives. But for the grace of God, I could have had AIDS. But if we don't have compassion, educate our church members, educate even in the school arenas so that we can have health concerns, education for our students, health educational debate in our churches, Sunday school classes, mission classes. That's what we do so that there is not an ignorance for this individual, when he comes into your church, people can see that person as an individual with a name, with a struggle, and they don't turn their backs on them. How can we help them restart their lives? These are families, mothers, single mothers with children that need a family. The design of what the Samaritan House has not even been put together yet. Steve Dutton shared that I wanted the Como residents to be a part of the design and development of what this will look like. Someone talked about the Eskimo hut. That's not in the original design there. That's a liquor place that is almost like a liquor drive-through barn. That it's a sore spot, but nobody I've heard raise element against it. If the Como community would rally together like Maurice and Wendell was talking about earlier, which I would love to see, then if we had the money, we would buy the Eskimo and put something in what he's talking about, a training mechanism. But when I'm talking about the vision and the direction for the community, we haven't gotten there. And that's where the struggle is because the vision of what we want it to look like, how can we get venture capital to come in and be a part of it? It's so much bickering that goes on, not so much from the pastors. We're just passionate of what we believe in. And he can cut the leadership at the top. I'm not cutting Dorothy. I mean, I was here before Dorothy came into leadership, but when you had the Viola Pitch, the great leaders of that, I mean, you had individuals, great minds that have been in this community. I wish we would rally together and rally behind Dorothy rather than cut her.
Okay, I understand that. We're going to go back to the phone lines, 817-600. You're on the line.
Hello. I'm calling as a concerned citizen. I have not had the opportunity to totally get the full understanding of what it is that's going on because currently I'm in college. However, I have gathered information from both parties, those that are for and those that are against having the Samaritan House here. I have recently contacted some political science majors and people, because I've heard people talk about community development and a growing Como. I live in Atlanta, and I have seen, and I, you know, grew up in Como and live and still live in Como. I have recently seen Atlanta have something similar to this, And the school that I go to had something just about like this, so I contacted a few friends of mine who have just graduated and are going on to law school to see what their thoughts were about it. And what I have found is that the Samaritan House almost seems as if it's a cross between a homeless shelter and the projects. It's not turning away people that don't necessarily need, that don't necessarily have a real reason for not having housing or jobs or things of that nature. What I have found is that it seems like they're just going to let anybody in.
Wait a minute, Colin. You don't think that the Samaritan House would invest $15 million to have a cross between a project and a homeless shelter, do you?
I sure do. And the reason that I find that is because if you go down on Lancaster, you find that the people that's out there looks like a homeless shelter all around that area. And for them to try to bring it in the community, like I said, I have no problem with what they're doing. People should be housed. They should be taken care of, and they should have an opportunity to restart. And there should be some type of program set up to help them do that. But as far as it being in Como, I think Como is a high-risk area simply because we have two schools in this neighborhood. You go down to the Samaritan House down on Lancaster, the nearest school I think possibly might be Trimble Tech, way across the freeway, I am Terrell. But as far as direct people being involved in that, then there are no, innocent bystanders that would suffer from some of the things that might come out of the Samaritan House. The second thing that I want to say is, if indeed that people are going to be for it, then I think that the Samaritan House should be catered to the residents of Como. If you want to put it in our community, then we should have the right to decide who comes in. It seems to me that everybody is so concerned about the parents, about the women who are having issues, the single mothers, and those children. Then if that's the case, then that Samaritan House should only cater to women and those children. And the community should be able to decide how this Samaritan House should run. If you want it here, then the citizens of this community should be able to decide how it operates and who it lets in. That way we can have that decision if you really want it here. If not, then you can take it anywhere else that you want to put it, and we will support. We'll bring our church vans, we'll bring our members, and we'll bring the community to help uplift those in that area, just as we already do. We have food pantries, and we have the Good News Club and all of these other things that we already do. It's not like we're not helping.
Well, caller, thank you very much. Caller, I think you made some very good points. We're going to move on. We're going to take the next caller, 817-296. You're on the line.
Yes. My concern about the Samaritan House,
yes,
it's going to be right across from the playground. And
required.
Okay.
You need to go on up.
The children play there every day. And it's not just the kids at the community center. It's kids from other families.
Okay. Yes. So your concern is that this particular facility is going to be across from a playground, and so therefore you feel it unsafe for the children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's based on what? The fact that people with HIV are going to be in the property, or what is your concern?
They said drug addicts, AIDS patients, people, just out wandering.
Okay.
They're going to be able to come as they want to come. And we already have enough people walking the streets of Como.
Okay.
We don't need any more walking the streets in Como and loitering and hanging out and selling drugs.
Well, they need to stay. Leave me alone.
Thank you very much for that call, caller. Pastor Kenneth Jones, do you want to address
yes.
that caller?
Yes, ma'am. First of all, the Samaritan House, if it comes to Como, is a gated community. It will have its own playground facility for the children. The individuals that would be a part of the Samaritan House will be under case management. They will be drug tested every week. They have to have a job. They can't stay in the Samaritan House. What also goes there, not only the case management, not only job training, not only a facility playground for the children that's there, but also there is a monitoring, as I said, for job training to get these individuals into the mainstream. When someone talked about the schools, that's why Steve Dutton selected Como, because he wanted the support of a community so that these young kids can go to school in a community. So it is a part of the community support. He doesn't want to come into a community that does not want it. And what he said was, Carrie, and he said this in the public open forum, that if Como does not want it,
he's got to learn how to bust him in.
Okay, let me ask you a question then. I'm getting feedback from somebody's computer. If you're listening, if you're talking to me on the phone, your computer will kind of kick back and give you a delay. Okay. Pastor Jones, let me ask you a question. It sounds like to me what you just described is a prison, because if you want to say that they're going to put up a $15 million and they're going to put a gate around it, if you think that that's going to keep the people from coming outside the gate, I would say
No, ma'am. What I'm just saying is it's a gated community. That's what I'm saying. It's not a prison.
Well, the lady just described our concern that the people would be coming into the community. And what I'm saying is if you put
What I'm saying is that you've been a part of gated communities. That means that there is a security system. Not anybody off the streets can just venture in.
Her concern was her playground is across the street from where the facility
is. My glasses.
It's right next to the Como Community Center. There is a playground and a tennis court right there. What I was saying is that the facility that will be the Samaritan House will have its own playground for those children within that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they will not go across the street. What's wrong with kids playing together? If it comes to Como, they're going to be in the same schools together. What's wrong with them playing together?
That's where I'm trying to make that point there, that what she was concerned about was that she did not obviously want to commingle with the people that were going to be in this facility. And so when you
and that's the negative stigma of the Samaritan House coming to Como is that it's those for while dumping these kind of people into the community. It's almost like we don't even understand that these are persons.
I understand. And I'm just making the point that the lady appeared to be making. Okay.
I got you.
We're going to go to 817 386 or 388. You're on the line. Good afternoon. 817-386. Okay, we're going to move back.
Maybe they got dropped. Can I ask the question, please?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
For Reverend Jones? I want to know, why is he fighting so for the Samaritan House when he is not from Como and he lives in Benbrook? Only thing he has out here in Como is a church, and half their members don't even want the Samaritan House. So why is he fighting so hard for the Samaritan House for somebody who has not been born and raised in Como? I have been born and raised in Como all my life.
Okay, Pastor Barnes.
Yes.
Pastor Kenneth?
Yes. First of all, the reason why I got involved in the first place, again, Carrie, is because of misinformation, and I was not informed by the pastors of this meeting. So a lot of this stuff could have been handled privately behind the scenes. Secondly, I am a pastor, and I don't know where she got her statistics, but we've done a general survey for my membership, those that are for and against, and there are more that is for it than those that are against it. I'm not sympathetic to those that are against the Samaritan House.
Okay, but half of your membership, they weren't raised in Como. Half of your membership is not from Como.
Excuse me. I did a survey. I have over 250 members, a part of this congregation, that are resident Comodians, not outside, but resident Comodians.
No, they not, because I've been to your church. A lot of people that used to be there at your church are gone.
And I hope you'll come back. But the bottom line is that's wrong information that you've given, unless you've got more information better than I have.
Yeah, because I'm out there in the community.
President, when we talk about pastors, I don't want to get into a tit for tat. I have a compassion for the Samaritan House. Before the Samaritan House came to Como, I stated publicly, Carrie, to all of those that was present, whether the Samaritan House comes to Como community or not, Como First Baptist and its pastor is going to continue to support. If it's not there on June the 3rd, the community will speak.
Okay. Okay.
Carrie.
Thank you, caller. Yes.
Carrie.
Yes.
It's Pastor Barnes.
Okay.
I was raised in Como. My mother, 94, still lives in Como. I would be in Como except that I ended up, my wife and I, working in Dallas. And so when we were moving, we decided to get Midway. I've been pondering and trying to figure out how to get back to Como and live there. I got a great love for Como. And Como, I'm going to say it again, Como has a bad rap. Como is not that bad. I've traveled all over this country. And there are some places that you just don't walk through. You don't drive through.
Okay.
And you can walk through Como.
Okay.
My mother, 94, I got a phone call. I was sitting in the study about a month ago. I got a call from two people. They called the secretary. The secretary called me, and she said, listen, Pastor, two people have called me within hang-ups and said that your mother is walking around the street. And I said, well, I guess I better go find out what's going on. And so I went and found my mother, and by that time she had made it back home sitting on the side of the porch. All I'm trying to tell you is that where I live now, I don't know if a 94-year-old person could wander around the street here.
I understand.
Okay? And she, in some places, you don't even know who your neighbors are.
Very true.
Como is a great community, and I wish people would stop trying to slam it. Yes, it has problems, but every community in Fort Worth, Dallas, and everywhere else, you get people get shot. You got prostitutes down in high-rise hotels. You got drug addicts. What's the difference in crack and cocaine? You got cocaine users all up and down Camp Bullitt, and in Como, you got crack users. So Como is not the worst place, and we need to stop talking about Como is the worst place to be because Como is a great place. It's located centrally. It's within 5 minutes of two major malls. Ridge Mall in Houlin, it's within 5 minutes of two major interstates, I-20 and I-30. It's within 6-7 minutes to the cultural district, within 10 minutes of downtown Fort Worth. It's got a lake, it's got two parks, and it's right on the edge of a bustling commercial district. So Como is a great place. The people are great people. There are not only drug addicts and dealers and prostitutes live in Como, but there are some teachers, there are some doctors, there are some lawyers, there are not only low-income people in Como, there are some millionaires in Como. And before the economic downturn, people were building houses in Como. Now, I've been told by a couple of different people that they tried to buy lots in Como from the city to build with the intent of building houses, and the city would not sell them lots. Now, and that was told in a meeting with our councilman there. And there are other people who would build houses, nice houses, middle class, upper middle class houses. If you built some of those houses in Como, people would come back to Como to live and not start moving out into the suburbs. Just last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to go. I told you I needed to leave.
Yes, sir.
Late for my last appointment, for the appointment that I was supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
But listen, I grew up in Como. I've been there all my life. Yes, I was there when Zipporah Hicks was the leader. I was there when Miss Philpott was there. I was there when Miss Olimore was there. I was there when Miss Pitts took over. But I have never in my life seen this type of debate and fraction in Como. I'm not saying division, because there are more people that don't want the Samaritan House than do want it, and I believe they're going to show up for the community vote. But I have never, ever, in all of my experience with Como, seen this type of fraction
community. Now, Steve Dutton might successfully put this in there, but he has successfully created an animosity between the residents of Como and the Samaritan House. That is there because of this process. This process was not open. It was not fair. Just as late as last week, there was the mayor's the mayor had a meeting of the homeless committee. It was downtown in the pre-council chambers, and Steve Dutton gave a presentation to that group, and before anybody could oppose, they put that at the end of the agenda. It was approved to go to the city council. It was a public notice. It was a public notice placed on the bulletin board of downtown City Fort Worth. So they met the requirement just by minimum posting it on the city council bulletin board. So, yeah, they think that it's a done deal. They're moving forward. But he has successfully created animosity between the residents that are going to be there and that community. That's not good.
Well, that's not good. Thank you, Pastor Barnes, for your participation. Let me ask you, Pastor Campbell, what is it that you're asking the citizens of Lake Como to do if they don't want the Samaritan House to come into Lake Como? What should they be doing?
Well, if they don't want it, and let me say this, you know, Pastor Jones is a Kenneth Jones is an intelligent man. He's a builder, a pastor, and he also knows by him being a businessman that with some enterprises coming into a community, that the property value will decrease. He knows this. All of us know this. What people have to do, according to this document that I have, that the final discussion on the Samaritan Project will be on Tuesday, June 1st, 2010, and they will be at the Como Community Center at 9:30 and at Zion Baptist Church at 6:30 p.m. They need to come out and express their concerns. Just say, yes, we want it, or no, we don't want it.
When will the vote take place?
From my understanding, and maybe Pastor Barnes would better be
June the 3rd.
It's called Thursday, June 3rd, right, Ken?
June the 3rd at 7 o'clock at at the Zion Church.
An announcement I have says community meeting NAC vote for or against the proposal will be at June 3rd at the NAC.
Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines back to Mr. Bowes to tell us exactly when is the vote.
Very good.
Mr. Bowes.
Very good.
Thank you.
The vote will be June the 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Como Community Center. We will have ballots. Folks will sign in. They need to have their identification, driver's license, because it will truly be for folks that reside, sleep, live in Como. For churches, the pastor has a vote because they have a business out there. Okay?
Okay.
And what about property owners?
Property owners that live out here have a vote.
No, property owners that have property out in Como.
Right. Uh-huh.
Let me make sure that.
Let me make sure that I make that clear.
Right.
You may own property out here, but if you are physically not living out here and have a address residing as an individual within this boundaries, no, you will not be able to vote. You will have to be, you know how people own a lot of property, but they maybe have rent houses. Their renters can do it, but they have to have a valid address that says they are resident sleeping in Como, okay?
All right. Okay,
Mr. Bowes, let me ask you one other question then. When is the city council vote?
The city council meeting will be June the 8th at 7 p.m. It's all on that same flyer that we are having posted throughout the passed out throughout Como.
Right.
Okay. Well,
thank you. Eric, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Is the voting going to be bilingual?
Mr. Bowes?
Is the vote going to be bilingual? I do not think I have the ballots bilingual, but I have enough time that I can get somebody to translate a bilingual ballot. It's only yes for or no against, so that should not be hard for me to get someone to translate it for in bilingual.
That answer your question, Pastor Barnes?
That answers.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the phone line, 817-938. You're on the line. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Yes.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I've been sitting here, and I've been listening, and I've been taking in everything, both comments, both ways. I've lived in Como for 53 years.
Wow.
I worked for the City of Fort Worth Public Health Department. I was one of the first VISTA Volunteers of America working with the health department doing community outreach. I worked with homeless people. I've worked with people with AIDS. I've worked with people with diabetes. I've worked with all kinds of people, and that is a part of my mission also. I'm a resident of Como. I raised all three of my daughters here. All three of my daughters are in college. They're away right now. But they're concerned about what's going on because it's hit Houston, about what's going on with the Samaritan House. As some of the pastors have said, I sit here and I try to hold my peace. I was going to hang up and try to get my spirit ready for service tomorrow. But this is just such an emotional issue. My mother's house is two blocks away from where this building is going to be projectedly placed. And we still own that property because we refuse to just give in to a couple of dollars, but that's my mother's homestead. That's what she suffered and she worked for all of her life. And to see this entity brought within the community, yes, it's going to do some good things for some people. But how many, what are the numbers, the legitimate numbers of individuals that will be placed in that facility within the Como community? And as it is present now, we have as many as 100 people living in Como that are HIV positive right now that we know of, that we're supporting, that we're giving food to, that we're giving information about where they can get help and medicine. But it's not being said about those things because a lot of people just don't put it out there like that. And I just don't feel that it's right that this be brought in under the guise of something great to be brought into Como, a facelift. And if you will listen to the undertones, a lot of these people, a lot, who are making these comments do not live in Como. They don't have a vested interest. They come here on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights whenever the church meetings are, on Sunday mornings, praise God, hallelujah, and have service to the Lord. And then they're gone. We're here 24/7, 365. And we really, at this present time, don't think that the Samaritan House is a proper entity to be placed in a residential neighborhood.
So are you saying, caller, that most of the people that live around you that you have discussed this issue with are in agreement with you?
99.9%. You're always going to have someone in opposition. That's an opinion. Everyone has their opinion. But when you look at the facts, and I understand that's why it's kind of hard sometimes to take apart the emotional from the logical and say, I'm for this, I'm against this. Well, if you're for it, why are you exactly for it? Are you for it because your pastor said you should be a for? Like I said, I'm 52. Oh, my goodness. I'm 52 years old. And my pastor, I love him to death. But my pastor's not going to tell me something and shove it down my throat. I'm going to go out and investigate it for myself. And through my investigations, hey, I saw that I can't see whether it's doing me any good.
Thank you, Colin.
You know, that's just me. Thank you.
Thank you. Pastor Jones, yes. You heard what the caller said. He said 99% of the people he's talking to does not even want the facility in Como. He also mentioned that he doesn't understand why people who are not members of the community really have a say in it. What would you say about that?
If I was just to deal with this tit for tat, and I really don't want to be insensitive to that. Really, when I look at this thing, Carrie, you only really have one pastor, the senior pastor of this community that stays in this community. I heard Maurice say that he would look to come back. I'm not going to spend all of my time talking about, you know, my desires to be in Como and all of that. I pastor in this community. I have an affinity for the people in this community. I don't just come in on Wednesdays. I spend over 60 hours a week in this community, not just in an office, but in houses, sitting on the front porch with my parishioners, listening to them, ministering to them, having a compassion for them. I'm in the schools. As I said, we already fellowship with churches in the community. It's an issue because when Maurice talked about it earlier, he talked about all of the different kinds of people that live in the Como community. He talked about lawyers and doctors and all of that. What I'm saying to that effect is absolutely right. Those people are in my church. I have lawyers, I have doctors, I have principals, I have laborers, I have people that are unemployed, I have those that are struggling with drugs. And what I'm saying to that effect is that we have a composite of many entities that make up a neighborhood, many kinds of people from many socioeconomic backgrounds. We cannot dismiss and say we only want the affluent to be here. How do we minister and give an opportunity for individuals who have come out of prison, who want to turn their lives around, to have adequate housing, training, case management, and develop? That's what I'm saying. When I look at it from a spiritual perspective, and that's where I am, as I said earlier this week, I'm not a politician, I'm a pastor. I have a heartbeat for it. And when you have a compassion for people, the bottom line is when you look at what's there, as I've said earlier, there are bigger issues than just that. It's a vision for what Como should be and how we should pool together resources to make that a reality. But this is $15 million coming outside of the community. Someone wants to come in that has gone through the proper channels of whatever, NAC and all that, to make that a reality, just as other folk have come. What I've seen, though, Kerry, is that those individuals who want to come in to really help with housing and training mechanisms, they have a lot more problems than those that I don't know that have come in, like those that want to build $250,000 houses. They are in Como, and those houses have been built recently, $150,000 homes. But the individuals that want to restart, we can't pick and choose who our neighbors are. Our neighbors are those whom God providentially places in our arena. We have all kinds of neighbors that we have in a community. And what we need to do is help those on the lower end so that they can be positive contributors to this. What I see in this issue is that many times some of us have not even dealt with individuals, or we've turned our backs on individuals who are down and out. And when you don't relate to them, when you don't feel them, when you don't have a face with them, you are not going to have compassion to do something to help. And when you look at Steve Dutton, like I said, we've been helping and working in the Samaritan House before reentry, before this issue ever came to the Como issue. I think it's a critical issue that really cuts to the fiber of the spirituality of where people are, the morality of where people are, and then again, Kerry, those that are informed. One of the reasons why I got in is because people had shared with me, one of my leaders came to me and said, Pastor, we heard that all the pastors were against it. And I said, no, I haven't been in a meeting with the pastors where this, and let me go down and voice. Kerry, I have not voiced my sentiments privately. I've voiced my sentiments publicly before the community. That was no rah-rah when I made my statements, but I've, just like Maurice has talked to people, people have come to me and said, Pastor Jones, I'm for it. I've been informed. I've taken tours. I've been lied and called a whole lot of names and a whole lot of just misinformation that has been out there. My only concern, Kerry, has been that we would inform the people so that they would have the right information. And when you really look at this issue as who will be your neighbor, recognizing that where it's going to be on that southern sector, recognizing that there are elements that don't want it, one of the things that's been the saving grace with me with it is that I know that the community will speak. And the community will speak on June the 3rd. As a community leader, Pastor Jones is not going to be a sore thumb. There's nothing wrong with intelligent debate, Kerry. We ought to be able to disagree without being disagreeable, but this is an issue that cuts at the very core of some people's ignorance, some people's avoidance. People don't want to be involved with it. We think we can just sweep it under the rug. It's a reality, yes, in this community. I come up from a community just like Como, and I'm proud of where I come from. My roots are Fifth Ward in Houston, but I've seen churches come in and be vibrant to this, Kerry, and it's where it's do you really care, and people don't care how much you know. until they see how much you care. And when you have those kinds of parishioners that you deal with in court settings and they want to turn their life around, people who struggle with this, the PWAs, the persons with AIDS in your congregation, and you love them and you have a respect for them and they're struggling with adequate housing, we're not going to turn our backs on them. If Como does not want it, the Como community will speak.
Let me ask you, Pastor Jones, it has been said that you took a group of or busload of people to take a tour of the Samaritan House, the existing Samaritan House, and some have said that they were taken over there under false pretenses.
I heard that lie. Let me tell you exactly what happened. Steve Dutton called me after my public speech over there where I spoke about a couple of minutes. We had, I published in our bulletins, and I spoke and everything. We're going to take those members that want to go and take a tour of the facility that is being discussed. Also, Carrie, they said that I went to nursing homes, and I took senior citizens that didn't even know where I was taking them. Carrie, I took two senior citizens, Pastor Lawson and his wife. It was a 12-passenger van.
Samaritan House executives, the impression that all the people that you brought were for the Samaritan House coming into Lake Como. That is not true.
Ma'am, those individuals, that was one individual. No, ma'am, that is not true. Everyone that came, that was one individual that publicly stated in that when we came and took that tour. I was against the Samaritan House when I showed up. But once I took a tour, I noticed one of my family members who I saw. The last time I saw her, she was on the streets of Como. She was as thin as a toothpick. When I looked at her out of the peripheral vision of my eye, I looked at her and I saw her and I said, wow, she's gotten healthy, looks like she's just looking marvelous. And she publicly stated, now I'm for the Samaritan House. It has not been a kamikaze mission by me to sit here and go to people's homes and say, and shove it down their throats. Samaritan House, Samaritan. It has been about informing, and the parishioners can make their own decisions, Carrie.
Okay.
That's what it's been about, and my members know that.
Let me ask Pastor Campbell. Pastor Campbell, what are you all prepared to do in terms of those that are opposing this? Are you all prepared to do boycotts and letter writing campaigns and email campaigns to keep the Samaritan House out of Como?
No, we're not going to lower ourselves to do that. We're not going to do that.
Okay.
The whole thing, and I don't know about Pastor Jones' meetings and not knowing about meetings, et cetera, and so forth. He says it. I'm not. What goes on at Como First, that's Pastor Jones and Como First. What goes on at West Mount Moriah, that's Pastor Campbell and West Mount Moriah. What goes on up at Zion, Pastor Maurice Bond and Zion. We have a lot going on in our own churches.
Okay.
We're not going to lower ourselves as a pastor. I'm not going to lower myself to pick it and carry on like that. I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We simply say that when you bring an institution like that into a community, as one caller said, who is a college person, and got good information,
mm-hmm.
that it turns nothing more but into a project-like area. And that kills a community.
Mm-hmm.
That kills a community. If it's such a great place, why don't they put it over in Rivercrest?
Hmm.
Why don't they put it on the other side of Camp Bowie? We can make it. We can reach it. I mean, you know, all of us have vans. Every church out here has a van or two. We can go over to the Samaritan House and pick up people from Rivercrest or Ridgely or Arlington Heights.
But see, just a second ago, you said you're not going to lower yourself to do things boycotting. But listen to what I'm saying. So if that's the case and you're not going to pursue it in that type of manner, let's just say the project does go forward and you know, you all don't do enough, you know, per se, to stop it, then will Como be the section of the city in which people can just bring anything into? Saying that you all are opposing this. Isn't
well,
that
I would
of,
hope.
signals
I would
that,
hope
that,
that it, Carrie, I would hope it never came to that.
Okay.
I would hope it never came to that.
Can I say, Carrie?
Here's the thing. Ken, hold on just a second.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Come On. Here's the thing about Come On. If you'll notice where we are located, I'm sure you've done due diligence.
Yes.
You've looked and seen. You've seen where Come On is.
Yes.
Come On is a uniquely located community.
Mm-hmm.
We're right in the middle of, if you want to call it, an affluent area.
Okay.
All right? And for years, Come On has been targeted for doing other things than keeping it as a residential community.
Okay.
It's been targeted. In 1971, I know because I grew up out here, in 1971 they closed our school, they closed our high school, but it was on the papers, it was on papers to start closing black high schools in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get around to doing it until 1971.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this. They're always planning on doing something. And then before we know it, here we are dumbfounded because it happened. 1967, verifiable, that they did this. They planned to close the black high schools in Fort Worth. And it took them 4 years to get it done. They closed Come On. They closed Kirkpatrick. They did something to I Am Terrell. The only one they didn't touch was Dunbar. But they did close two schools and rearranged, if you will, they rearranged I Am Terrell the way it's some other type of institution now. And I'm saying I would hate that would happen to our community.
Okay. Pastor Jones, you wanted to say what?
Carrie, you know, when I look at the large issue of this thing, when the community speaks on this coming week, this is a strong community of 105 years old. I'm proud to be a part of it. I really believe whichever way it goes, you're going to have great leadership that's going to rise up to make sure that it exceeds the standard. When we talk about something that a caller called in earlier about talking about the dynamics of who should stay in this particular place, you know, when I really look at it, Carrie, that was a good point. Because when you really have good leadership, you look at it from a proactive perspective. If it's going to be a reality in this community, now these are the concessions. This is what we want. What are we concerned about? When you have great leadership, you can look at the greater picture and see that you're ministering not only to the needs of those that stay in this particular complex, but you can set the thing up where it ministers to the community in the sense of the training and all of the case management issues for the entire community. But when you have a community that has a vision that can look at all of those aspects, what do we want? We want all of the things that are already transpiring, taking place in the Samaritan house. What do you want? Community policing, if this is to come into this arena. It's a broader issue when you look at leadership. What do you want the comprehensive, holistic picture to be for your community? And when leaders come together, I believe that if this issue is not passed and Samaritan house is not here, you're not going to see us ranting and raving. We're going to continue to do. I'm going to continue to do on an individual basis. Our church is going to continue to do it on a basis of continuing to support not only just the Samaritan house, but all of the other entities that we are, as I'm hoping that other communities of faith are doing likewise. I just think, Carrie, it's an issue that's at the core, that is the haves, the have-nots. It's an issue with me. I've listened to lies, half-truths, and innuendos. One thing that my church knows, my word is, it is. It's the truth. One bus for 12 people can't bring down 30 and 40 and 50 senior citizens that don't know whether. I've heard that lie, and that's exactly what it is. But the bottom line is to inform the constituents.
We have less than a minute left in this segment. I'm going to go back to Mr. Bowes, and I'm going to ask her to again repeat the dates of the vote.
The date of the vote will be June 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Como Community Center.
Okay, and then the City Council?
The City Council meeting where they will vote on the design dollars will be June 8th, 2010. And can I say that I know someone said that our community are divided. We are discussing intelligently, getting
That's
information
right.
out. And what I heard is that that we will be against the divide of the neighborhood. I don't believe that's true. I believe that we will, whatever the vote is, we will rise and
that's
work
right.
together. That
that's
is right. not going to separate this community. And those that are saying that couldn't have been involved in some of the other big issues that
that's
we've
right.
had where we've had these type of discussions.
That's
okay.
Right.
We're going to have to say that's going to be the final word. Thank you all
thank
for
you.
Being my guest, Mr. Bowe.
Thank
you.
You.
I feel
thank
like
you
we've had
much.
An for the discussion about what's going on in Como, and we'll let the citizens decide. Until
that's
next
right.
time, thank you guys.
Thank
for
you.
You're welcome.
Us. We'll see you next time.
And thank you,
bless you. Have a great day. Preach well,
thank
brother.
You. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Wendell. You're the same now.